Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and you're not listening by chance. I just want to thank you for listening and supporting the ministry, for the prayer concerns that come to our website, for the requests that come by email. We've begun a series here called WWJS. What would Jesus say? Jesus did many wonderful miracles. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, and he raised the dead. But Jesus came to preach and teach. As we are studying WWJS, we hear some simple, yet so hard to do words. These words are two, follow me. Jesus said, follow me to Andrew and Peter, and they left their fishing nets immediately. Jesus said, follow me to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and we are told that they too left their father immediately and followed Jesus. Jesus walked up to the tax collector's booth, and he said to Matthew, follow me. And Matthew immediately walked away from his fortune, his fame, his security to follow Jesus. We heard Jesus say in Luke 14:27, if you've been listening to the programs, these challenging words, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. We are called to carry our own cross. Let me just digress for a minute. I can't carry Jason's cross or Julia's cross. You can't carry your husband or your wife or your daughter or your son or your aunt or your uncle or mother or father's cross or your coworker or your boss's cross. You're called to carry your own cross. That's what the scripture says. Anyone who does not carry his or her cross, you can't carry anyone's cross. You're called to follow Jesus and pick up your cross. If you were listening last week, we looked at Mark 8:34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, if anyone would come after me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. That's Mark 8:34 and 35. We learned last week, if you were listening to the program, that losers are really keepers. Wow, that's radical in our society today. We label a lot of people losers. And one thing that we probably fear the most is to be called a loser. Maybe that's happened to you. You know, they put the little L on their forehead and go, oh, there's a loser. You're not a loser when you're following Jesus. Did you hear me? I don't know if anybody has ever called you a loser, but when you turn and give your life to Jesus, you're a keeper, and you'll be kept every day. Two simple words, yet so hard to do. Follow me. I'm going to give you a so what early, and I'd be glad to email these little so what questions because they're really powerful to think about. You know, we're in week 5 of our Follow Me series. And if you've had a chance to listen to all the broadcasts, that's great. If you haven't, I can send you manuscripts. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. You can go online at the www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and listen to the programming. Where is Jesus asking you to follow? That's a tough question. Maybe you're following someone right now. Maybe you're driving your car and you're stuck in traffic. But really, where is Jesus asking you to follow? Where is Jesus asking you to deny yourself? That's even tougher, isn't it? These two simple words are really simple, but they're so hard. Deny yourself and pick up your cross? Where is Jesus asking you to do that? Where is Jesus asking you to follow in your family, in your work, in your relationships, in your health, or your finances? A lot of people have a hard time following. I think our society, we all want to be number one. And we all want to run around raising our hands, jumping up and down, we're number one. But really, Jesus is saying, be number two, be number three, be number five, be number 100. Follow Jesus. Where's he asking you to follow in your family? Maybe he's asking you to follow, you know, your wife's suggestion if you're a husband. Maybe if you're a wife, he's asking you to follow your husband's suggestions or follow your boss at your work or follow your coworker. Maybe you're supposed to follow your doctor's instructions. Maybe you're supposed to do, maybe you're supposed to do a little physical therapy. I get to do, as a pastor, I just came from the hospital, and this person's going to have to do physical therapy after their surgery. And the doctor will say, you need to do 5 weeks of physical therapy. And that person may do 3 weeks and go, oh, I'm fine. But if they don't continue the other 2 weeks, then maybe their range of motion or their knee's not going to flex the way it's supposed to flex. And yet, when a pastor says to someone, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for 38 years. When a pastor says, hey, I think you need to do a little spiritual therapy, you know, a lot of people don't do that. I wonder why. I wonder why when a doctor says, hey, you need to do a little physical therapy to get the muscles back or get your joint back or get the range of motion back. And then when a spiritual director or a pastor says, time to do a little spiritual therapy. Where, you know, I think that's what Jesus is saying, follow me. It's a spiritual therapy thing. And the thing with therapy, we stop. We stop our therapy because, oh, that hurts. You know, I don't know if you've ever had surgery and you're trying to get your range of motion back. The physical therapist pushes you till there's pain. And I think sometimes following Jesus causes us some pain. We have to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves maybe in our family. Maybe we need to deny ourselves and not watch the football game this week and just spend some time with our family, with our children or our grandchildren. Where is Jesus asking you to follow in your family, in your work, in your relationships, your health, or your finances? Oh boy, the finances is a tough one too. What is Jesus asking you as you follow him in your position or your power or your passion or your possessions? Where is Jesus asking you to follow him and totally trust him as you follow? Those are tough questions, and this is a tough series. These are some hard sayings. Two simple words, follow me, but very, very hard. In 1986, I made a grace weekend called Curcio. My pastor back in Illinois sponsored me, and he drove me 4 hours to Epworth Forest in Indiana. I'd been a volunteer youth director for 4 years. I thought I was following Jesus. But on that weekend, I heard a song, and it's Here I Am, Lord, written by John Michael Talbot. I'm not going to sing it to you. You wouldn't want me to sing on the radio. I'm not a singer. I wish I was a singer. But John Michael Talbot wrote these words. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in darkened sin, my hand will save. I have made the stars of night. I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them whom shall I send? And then the chorus goes, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I don't know when you're listening to this program. I don't know if it's day or night or in the what hour it is. But I know Jesus is going to be calling you. I hope you pick it up. I remember in 1986 raising my hand to that song. I wasn't a pastor. I was a owner of several businesses. I didn't think Jesus was going to ask me to do what he was going to ask me to do. Little did I know that Jesus was calling me to follow him. I suppose what I was trying to say that one day following Jesus looked like serving him for a few hours on Sunday morning. Now it looks like follow me 24 hours a day. Today we're going to try and take a few minutes to look at Mark 10, 17 through 31. I don't know how much time we have, but we'll see how far we get today. To set the stage for this passage, we need to know that just before this passage, people were bringing their children to Jesus, but the disciples were trying to stop the children. Peter, you know, Peter's impetuous. He's bold. I call him No Filter Peter. When Peter writes this, you know, Peter really dictates the message of Mark to John Mark, and Mark writes it down. Peter's in prison when he's telling Mark, and he's writing down Peter's words. And these are some of the words in Mark 10. I'm going to look at 14 and 16 real quick before we go to 17, because Peter's probably the one, I think, you know, looking back, and I wish I was there. Peter was probably the one trying to stop the people from bringing their children to Jesus. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. And this is Pastor Dave, and I just want to thank you for all the emails that we get and prayer requests. If you have a prayer concern, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and click on prayer concerns, and our prayer team will pray for you. And we're looking at Mark 10, verses 14 through 16, before we get to the main passage, 17 through 31, in Mark 10. When Jesus, and set the stage again, people are bringing their children to Jesus, and the disciples are stopping them. I think it's Peter. You know, I'm just interjecting my thoughts. It probably was all of them. But Peter's impetuous, bold. I think the reason he puts it in this story in here, I think Peter was stopping the children. But this is what the scripture says. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. Just this past weekend at the Seed Christian Fellowship, the church that I pastor, we had a baptism. Now, baptism is an outward sign of the inward reality of God's grace. And the outward sign, really, there's four signs to baptism. And I'm going to digress here and go off the page here for just a minute, because it was powerful that the families were bringing their children to be baptized this Sunday. And I thought about this passage and this outward sign of the inward reality of God's grace. And listen, I don't want to get real theological on it, and it's not the amount of water that's effectual, it's what the Holy Spirit does, and there's four signs of baptism, and let me briefly share those four signs. There's the sign of being buried with Christ, being immersed, coming, you know, going under the water, and being raised into a new life. That's one outward sign, being buried with Christ and being raised with Christ in this new life. And that's an outward sign of the inward reality of God's grace. The other one is the outward sign of being washed clean. That's what water does, washes us clean from our sins. The third sign is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized at the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit came down and settled on him like a dove and filled him and prepared him to begin his earthly ministry. When we are baptized and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one, they're gentlemen. They come in into our heart, but they don't take over. We allow them to have that room. So the Holy Spirit comes in. And the fourth sign, the outward sign of the inward reality of a baptism, is being engrafted. That's a fancy word, engrafted. That means being adopted into God's family. So I think of when these little children were coming to be baptized, and they're being blessed, you know, with the water, being buried with Christ and raised with Christ into this new life. They're being engrafted into the body of Christ. They become children of God. And I thought about this passage when the families are bringing their children to Jesus, and the disciples try stopping people from coming to Jesus. I wonder how often we stop. We get our rules, our regulations, our religiosity in the way of people coming to Jesus. I know I probably have failed in that, and I confess that, but to you. But how often do we set up our rules, our regulations, saying, well, you can't come to Jesus this way, or you can't come to Jesus this way, or you're not old enough to come to Jesus, or you're not clean enough to come to Jesus, or you haven't repented enough to come to Jesus. Boy, that I don't read that anywhere in the scriptures. And I think this passage, when he says they were bringing the children to Jesus and people tried to stop them, what Jesus is teaching us is we're to come to him as little children. And how, if we come to Jesus as a little child, what does that mean? It means that we come as a dependent. I think that we're supposed to come to him as just a little child. And that sets up the stage for this Mark passage, Mark 10, 17 through 31. And I'd like for you to hear it today from God's own word. Before we do, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you today as little children. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to your living words of eternal life. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark 10, 17 through 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and he fell on his knees before him. He said, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 18, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud, and honor your father and mother." Verse 20, "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. That's a powerful statement. Mark 10, verse 20. Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. I'm going to digress again. We'll probably never get through this message today, and you're going to have to come back next week and listen to the programming. Jesus looked at this man, and he loved him. Oh, my prayer is that you'll let Jesus look at you, and you'll see that look of love. He loved him. And then Jesus says, "One thing you lack. One thing you lack." And he said, "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. And then, come follow me." Wow. Radical. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. What are you saying, Jesus? And follow you? Verse 22. At this, the man's face fell. It actually, in the Greek, it says that the Greek word that Mark uses here is a storm cloud arose, and his face fell like a storm cloud shadowing over him. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad. Now, some of the scholars say this is the saddest passage in all of Scripture. Mark 10, verse 22. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, and look at the word that he uses, children. Just previously before that, he says, let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Don't hinder them. He said, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and put them on his lap, and he blessed them. And now in verse 24, he says, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and he said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible. Wow. If you highlight in your Bible, if you write in your Bible, I would write something. I would highlight verse 27. With man, this is impossible. He's saying, by your own human effort, by all of your efforts, by how smart you are, how rich you are, how good looking you are, it's not going to get you into heaven. With man, it's impossible. But all things are possible with God. Well, Peter, in verse 28, said to them, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. So my so what question really comes back to, where is Jesus asking you to deny yourself and pick up your cross? Where is Jesus asking you to follow in your family, in your work, your relationships, your health, and your finances? We're going to pick up on this passage again and break it apart and dissect some of the Greek. I encourage you to come back and listen to this passage next week. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for your grace that saves us through faith. Let us walk like we're little children and come to you, Jesus, and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would ask if, in fact, I would pray that you would pray for a very dear friend of mine, Dr. Herman, and his wife, Barbara. They are the sponsors of the Seed of Faith here on the programming, and he's been a dear friend for over 20 years. And he's been diagnosed with inoperable cancer, pancreatic cancer, and he's been a dear, dear friend. If you would pray for Dr. Herman and his wife, Barbara, pray for God's miracle, God's healing, God's grace to sustain them. But also, if you'd like to be a sponsor of the Seed of Faith on the radio, you can go to our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Go to online giving and support this ministry. We're learning in this passage to follow Jesus. How do we follow? Is it costly or is it casual? Know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.